This is the Scarab Swarmcast. In this podcast, we discuss games, anime, conventions, and a variety of other topics. Scarab is an annual convention in Columbia, South Carolina, and members of the Scarab Swarm can be spotted at various events demoing and running a variety of games. For more information on Scarab, go to www.s-c-a-r-a-b.com. I used to hate myself when I would let you down. You're listening to the Scarab Swarmcast. On this episode, we're going to be talking about those small creatures that scurry around, usually in the darkness, usually come out in swarms, to attack level 1 adventurers when they're on their way to going to get enough XP to get to level 2. So we things such as kobolds, goblins, all sorts of little things like that. I'm one of your hosts, John Manus, and I've got a few other people here at the table with me. Go ahead and introduce yourself. Maybe if you want to say a little bit of something about yourself, you can. And tell us some sort of game that you've been playing recently.
Alright, I'm Calvin Korn. Mostly I play PFS, so I run a lot at our local game store, Firefly, in Lexington. I don't know what to say about myself other than, you know, good times, always, laughs, mostly at myself.
That about covers it, yeah.
Yeah, that covers it.
Well, what have you been playing lately?
Other than PFS?
Other than PFS.
Video games, because, you know, well, and Crossmaster.
Got the Crossmaster back in there.
Crossmaster Arena.
I don't think anybody's mentioned Crossmaster Arena yet.
Oh, man. If you haven't played Crossmaster, it's so much fun. All right, I think it's so much fun.
And that's probably why I haven't mentioned it, because I haven't played it yet.
Well, you know, John, I think that a certain unnamed individual that we called out last time just put up a video about, you know, something about playing board games or something like that.
I think you're right. Yeah.
And I think they just played Crossmaster Arena.
Really?
Yeah.
That's right, Wesley Crusher. We're still waiting for you.
That's right. Good call, man. Jason.
Speaking of which, who are you?
What's this brings us to
yeah. And I'm Jason Wright. I have, I guess, a different angle on the small crunchy monsters because I am ridiculously tall.
Which basically makes all the rest of us small and crunchy.
Yeah, we are the small crunchy monsters.
Level 2, here I come.
Alright, and sitting next to Jason, we have...
Fourth and last, but I guess not least at all, Clayton. I was here last time. What have I been playing? About the same as last time, although lately I've been working more and more on my games for Con Carolinas.
That's right.
Mainly one that will be brought up later on in this podcast, mainly because it does have references in this. And I'm kind of fiending, kind of needing a PFS fix soon.
Well, I know where you can get one every Wednesday night, if you can make it at 6 and 7 o'clock. We have at least 2 different game slots running each time.
At our friendly local
game store. Have you been playing anything else?
I have been playing Super Stickman Golf 2.
See, I don't even know what that is.
It is a physics-based. So it is a physics-based golf game on Droid.
I tell you, this Stickman.
And now I'm looking at it.
The Stickman with their superior knowledge of physics.
Hey,
yeah,
you can't beat that.
It is a very fun and addictive game.
Like I said, my name is John. Some games I've been playing recently, I've finally got a chance to play Rampage,
What?
The board game a couple times.
Awesome.
And it was pretty neat. It was pretty interesting. Getting to knock meeples around all over the place.
And launching vehicles with your mind powers.
Launching vehicles with my mind powers. I got to play Dungeon Roll a few more times, so I was happy about that because I like Dungeon Roll. Got to play Kittens in a Blender again, which is always a fun game. People
miss out on the fun games like Kittens in a Blender.
You did miss out on the fun games.
And don't forget, we also got to play Kung Fu Fighting.
We did.
A couple of times.
And I got my butt kicked every time.
And just recently, I actually ran one of those PFS games on Wednesday. Just recently. By the time of this recording, it will have been
not
yesterday. So well, by the time this comes out, it will have been not so recently. Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. Other than that, I'm spending a lot of time gearing up my games for Con Carolinas and Game-O-Rama. Could you just grab Stickman?
I may. No!
Maybe. Stickman Go 2. Nice.
Yes, it is on iOS as well.
There's a possibility that... No, what were we saying?
There might be a possibility that Calvin is now dropping out of this podcast.
This Stickman Golf 2 game podcast brought to you by...
Android and iOS.
Alright. So, we're talking about these the small creatures that go bump in the night, and sometimes they bump back. But
mostly they go crunch under your boot.
Mostly they go crunch under your boot. And I think primarily the focus here is not so much the games where you're playing that barbarian who goes into a cave with his elf companion to smash goblins, but quite the opposite, where you are the goblins, or perhaps you have more interaction with the goblins and such, and you go outside of the cave to make the barbarian and his elf companion go crunchy. And when I think of goblins, admittedly, now I think of one person in particular, and that's Calvin Korn here, who has sort of embraced... very bizarrely unnatural way the Pathfinder goblins in particular. So Calvin, do you want to talk about some
I'm just saying, if you have never properly played or seen Rise of the Goblin Guild played, Eki is by far one of the best well written characters in all of the PFS scenarios.
I will have to agree with you on that one.
She is amazing. Not only is she amazing as a character, but just, like, the build. She is better built than most PFS things. It's sad, but it's true.
A lot of love and effort went into Eki.
And a lot of love and effort goes into Eki every time I run that game.
Yes.
Because she is my favorite PFS NPC.
Now, I haven't played this scenario. Do I need to abstain to... save my virgin ears.
I won't ruin it, but I will tell you that if you've never played it, make sure that whoever you play it under has an appreciation for Eki and everything that is goblin. At least the appreciation for Eki, but because she's a great character.
Calvin, we'll have to make arrangements to see if we can contract you to run this for me on one of my days off.
Absolutely.
And if I need to burn a GM, sorry, to play that again.
I would actually consider doing the same thing there.
Well, I'll tell you what happened last year at, what was it, Mace? I had one day off, like one game off, and we come back from getting food, and I was like, I'm not in a hurry because I have a free slot, and I'm not going to. So we get back, and Ruby was mustering, and there was a group of kids. There were spots open at a bunch of different tables. There was a group of kids who wanted to play together, and they were just like, well, we don't want to split up. So I took some prescribed medication at the time after recently having surgery, and went and ran Rise of the Goblin Guilds for those guys, and they were just like, I've never played PFS before, but if it's half as much fun as we just had doing this, I want to get into it. And every time I've played that scenario, that's pretty much the same reaction I get. It's just so much fun.
So it wasn't the drugs so much. It was that's what you're saying.
Yeah, because it's not. That was not a one time thing.
Okay.
That was just probably the most memorable time for me running it. Oddly enough, I still remember it.
So we're not advocating
no.
GMing under the influence kind of.
No, it's chemical inspiration, John. Chemical inspiration.
it
that was a great start, though.
It allowed for
doing drugs and running.
Yeah, that's awesome. It allowed for me to stress my voice a little bit extra, because when I play Eki, I just like to get into the whole.
Well, you know, it's. Well, I didn't go down there because, well, they wouldn't let me, and they're big meanies, and the one with the hat, he said I was no good, and
so. Running an entire game when you're running a character that talks like that.
I can sympathize.
Yeah, exactly.
I can very much sympathize. Six times over. Depending on how many players are at the table.
What do you mean, Clay? The
Frostfur Captives, I get to NPC not one, but as many goblins as there are players at the table. And unfortunately, they don't flesh them out, so it's kind of my option to do so, and I only got the idea, I can't claim it as my own, but I don't remember who it was that ran it for me at our friendly local game store quite a while ago, but he did the same thing and gave them personalities, gave them little shticks about each one of them, and then shoved them upon each one of us. Which, instead of just dragging our goblin around and beating it over the head, like any other smart, intelligent adventurer would do, we actually kind of started interacting with them, and then it became like a pet. So you start, you know, protecting them, talking to them. And so I had so much fun playing in a scenario like that, that I immediately stole every bit of that idea and went on ahead and ran it that way in the one time, in the two times that I've actually run that. And I've gotten a similar reaction because I get to do a similar voice like that, but then mix it up depending on whether they are a 90-pound goblin or...
So the very obese goblin.
There was a very obese goblin that literally ate just about everything. And awesome. Interestingly enough, that was my goblin when I played him. So taking advantage of a goblin that eats everything was not very hard for my ranger to kind of make up some meat paste, put it on a rock, and then hand it to him. So he's sucking on it for a while, keeps him quiet.
I think when you ran it for me, my goblin was like covered in snot the whole time.
Oh, you got the snot cover. Oh, yeah.
See, you have all sorts of stuff to look forward to. Yeah. You're like, well, you've got to run this game for me,
I have done Frostfur Captives. Ours, our goblins were particularly enamored. Our mage in the group kept using prestidigitation. I think they pretty much had formed a small cult around him.
And that was pretty much how mine turned out. I got to run my Ifrit Fire Oracle.
Wow.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So, and it was the first time I'd ever even seen the scenario, and they were just like, oh.
Fire.
And I had to completely advocate for them the entire game. I was just like, they were like, the group was like, well, let's just tie them up. And I'm like, no, you're tying up my goblins. They were my goblins. You're not tying them up. But they ended up, everybody kind of warmed up to them after a while.
So are they in either PFS or Pathfinder modules or adventures or such? Strange noise in the background. I can only assume it was
my daughter.
Your little goblin.
Yeah, my demon child.
So what else does Pathfinder have that is goblin centric?
Well, you get to play the replayable one, We Be Goblins 1, where you actually get to be goblins.
What?
So you get to take that whole, you know, especially if you've played and seen goblins, so you get to take that and you get to run with it. And I've ran that multiple times, and it always ends up so different because people just take the whole goblin thing and go like wildfire.
No, they are
exactly.
Uncontrolled chaos. Not so, controlled chaos.
Yeah.
Uncontrolled chaos. So,
that was always fun.
Goblin attacks. Played that at Gen Con last year. It was real fun, and actually, you complete all five or four missions.
It was five.
You complete all five of your goblin attack missions, and at Gen Con, the the little boon that you got for this was a goblin mask. Woo-hoo. And I still have my boon. It's unused. Because you can actually, for 5 minutes of real gameplay, put on the mask. Your character puts on the mask and takes on the guise of a goblin for nice. 5 minutes. But the cool thing was is that if you did it early enough in the weekend, you got a real goblin mask. And so I've got a little paper goblin mask that my son still loves to wear every once in a while. So, and they've, you know, since you did mention Weeby Goblins 1, there is Weeby Goblins
2.
T-double-O.
Yes.
And they didn't spell it that way because it was goblins trying to say it.
Nope.
It's because it's about, what, a whole
other planet? Yeah. Well, it's... No, you're actually playing the original Goblins from Weeby Goblins 1. However, what happened is, after Weeby Goblins 1, the goblin tribe that you were with gets wiped out while you're sent out hunting. And so you come back, and the humans have overrun this your goblin village, and... yeah. So you get to go find a new goblin village... or tribe to join, and the adventure snowballs very quickly downhill from that point, as you expect the goblins to do.
Now, John, all this talk about players actually being goblins, that sounds vaguely familiar. Was there some other game where you actually play as the little crunchy things?
Well, there are a few... Trying to think.
Maybe not goblins. Maybe something else that's more dog-like, more first ed-ish.
Like a kobold?
No, that's crazy talk. That can't.
What game could you possibly play where you could actually be kobolds?
What we're talking about, of course, is the we haven't mentioned it much ever, but this game called Kobolds Ain't My Baby.
Is this new?
It's actually around for quite a while. The new edition, the Kobolds Ain't My Baby in Color edition.
In Color.
Actually just came out last year, I want to say. Fairly recently. In fact, attendees of Scarab 2014, we had one of the creators, one half of the creative team that brought us Kobolds Ain't My Baby. I guess one third if you don't count John Cavalli, was there at Scare, Chris O'Neill. He signed some books. He ran some games in Kobolds.
A brilliant soup of ice and fire.
That's right. And in fact, I'm going to be at Country Airlines. I'm going to be running a soup of ice and fire, but it's not going to be the same one where you're dealing with the, you know, trying to crown the new King Torg.
All hail King Torg!
But one where you're going to be on the continent.
Got it on that one.
When you're going to be on the continent to the right, dealing with dragon ladies and pony lords. Whatever that's about.
Conies? Conies?
Conies. Well, they might be some
chili, cheese, onions, and mustard.
What does this all mean? You just have to come to Carolina's and find out. Or, if I remember. But yeah, in that game you get to play kobolds. They're Smurry Fault.
Say that one.
Small. They're furry small. They're furry and small dog-like creatures, like the first edition D&D kobolds used to be. They used to be dog creatures. And then eventually, somehow, in D&D, they changed into little lizard creatures, and then they became uber-powerful lizard-dragon offspring-type things, which I don't know how the heck that happened, but...
Yeah. Evolution.
Evolution?
It's a weird kind of evolution.
We know you're a dog.
We're just going to say.
Now you're going to evolve into this, like, lizard that's related to dragons.
Exactly.
And powerful sorcerer.
And a powerful sorcerer.
And plumbers.
Which is funny because there in PFS there's a scenario called Sewer Dragons of Absalom, which has kobolds, but it's those lizard kobolds. We don't talk about them.
What?
Yes, it's a fun game where you actually can go through multiple kobolds because your character will just die left and right. But that's half the fun.
Actually, dying is half the fun. That's why they call it a horrible death check.
That's right. It's a horrible death check.
In fact, my experience was playing for you and for
Chris.
For Chris, was that just die in the most amusing way that you can, and make a new kobold and try to do that again.
Oh yeah, it takes everything that you've been told you should not do in a game like Pathfinder or D&D, and it says no, do it. You need to do
all
it.
Of it.
If you don't do it, you're doing something wrong.
And you're going to get a horrible death.
And you're probably going to die anyway. So.
I sadly can say that the only time that I've ever had the option or opportunity to get in on a game, I ended up having to go back to work after getting off work, was one game that you were running. And I showed up, and I was like, yeah, I'll play. And I sat down, and I got a phone call or text message. Like, didn't even get my character made, and they were like, we need you back.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, it was
I think it was one of those...
Friendly local gaming shop, yeah. Yes.
Yes, kobolds is a lot of fun. So far we've mentioned these things that are, these are these little creatures that normally in one of these games, it's the dark, scary creature that goes and steals children and eats babies and things like that that you're supposed to try to want to kill. You know, it's like vermin or something like that. But there's other things. There's other things like that which have a bit more humorous spin to it. And I believe, Clay, you are actually working on a game that deals with a creature.
I am working on a game using the PDQ system for some cute, cuddly, mischievous, and oddly they can glow if you crack their back and shake them up a little bit. and yes, I'm talking about the minions from Despicable Me. I'm working on a game, again, like I said, in the PDQ system, where you get to play as minions. There is no Gru. He's off on his honeymoon. So while the master is away, the minions will play. And I think PDQ is going to work out the best for this. It's actually going to be the truth and justice system. So they're going to have a little bit of super minion stuff to them. Thank you, Dr. Nefario. And we'll see how wild and crazy and how potentially near to the kind of deaths that you can get in kobolds that we'll get with this. So.
Now, they're actually going to be like chances where they die, or is it going to be more like a sort of cartoonish, like, well, you float off into space?
Very cartoonish. The more outlandish and wild, the better. And they're not going to necessarily die. It's going to be more of just... I actually am imagining this similar to your 52 pickup Savage Worlds game, where the more you can top the person in your descriptive process of what your minion is actually going to do, the better. Because minions don't ever want to be second best.
That would be pretty cool. Now, are you giving it... when are you planning on having this ready for people to be able to play this thing?
Definitely before Con Carolina, so a few weeks from now. I'm actually going to try to finish it up in the next week so that I can play test it a little bit before taking it to Con Carolina. So.
Awesome.
Sweet.
Very cool.
So maybe we can do a follow-up recording on how terrible or how awesome it was.
Okay. We could definitely work something like that.
What if it's terribly awesome?
If it is terribly awesome, then I'm going to retire.
Just give up. Right? Just like, hey, I'm done.
I have written the ultimate game.
Go out on both the top and the bottom.
Exactly.
I have achieved the middle.
I have achieved sandwichism.
Top that. Well, a little bit before the recording, Jason and I were talking about, well, this is fine because this is all RPGs and things like that. But what are some examples of some other type of games that might have something similar to this, where you have some sort of little minion-y type character or kobold or goblin-y type character that you either have control of or something such as that. One example we came up with was
the Snotlings and the Gretchen from Warhammer and Warhammer 40K.
Yeah, right. Which from what I remember, that it's usually you get like a lot of them. They're usually the smallest figures, I want to say. You get like a lot of them, and they tend to have really crazy, bizarre, random rules. In fact, the goblins in Warhammer Fantasy, I know alone, have random rolls. A lot of times it's like, yeah, you can move and attack, but you gotta roll a d6 and see if they change their mind and decide they want to go chase flowers. Or eat.
Wow, realism in a game.
One of my
seems legit.
One of my favorite models for Warhammer Fantasy has always been the Snotling Pump Wagon, which looks like this little siege engine. It's about this big, which if you're listening to podcasts, you can't really tell. It's about big as two fists combined together. And it's kind of tall, and it's just got all these little snotlings just kind of hanging off of it. And the way it works is you have this chart, and it says, all right, I'm going to activate the pump wagon. So you have to roll, like, a certain number of dice in terms of this is how far it goes, because depending on which one of the goblins manages to get control of the steering determines, like, how far it goes. Sometimes it can go really far, sometimes it only goes a little bit. And then you kind of decide, well, I wanted to go this way. Let's see what the goblins do, because the goblins might make it a different direction. And you might have one of them decides, I'm going to fire the, you know, whatever little catapult thing that's on there. And so that's always fun, because it's either you just ram through things, or sometimes it shoots stuff. And it's completely random. But yeah,
random is good.
That's my Warhammer Fantasy.
See, the only other thing I could come up with was a couple of games on the Xbox 360, Overlord and its sequel.
Overlord was fun.
Where, you play... It's trying to be like Dungeon Keeper, where you play the big, bad, evil thing, and you're surrounded by this horde of just tiny little monsters that you sort of direct. You don't control them directly. You just sort of point at things and they swarm at them. And it's particularly amusing because as you're, you know, wrecking houses and stuff like that, they'll come back with the spoils of war. And so you'll get them, suddenly find that they are armed with rolling pins or wearing chef's hats. Just whatever they happen to pick up. Even if it's just like a pumpkin shell on the head, it's a helmet.
Sounds cool.
They look kind of like gremlins from the 80s movie,
okay. But
they say a lot of cutesy little things. It's very amusing.
As Dan, you mentioned Dungeon Keeper, and of course I'm thinking of
the imps. Yes.
Dungeon Keeper, like, whoopee! And then they scurry off and do things, and you can smack them around.
Pretty much.
Which is fun.
And sounds kind of like innuendo. Stop smacking your imps around in there. You have to go to bed.
Oh, and you mentioned gremlins. There's in the skirmish game Malifaux, one of the, I don't know if it's really a faction, it might be a faction now, that you can play is gremlins, who are these sort of these bayou hillbilly goblins. It's really weird. So you've got like a goblin with overall.
So you've got like. It's like completely. My mind just can win.
Calvin's like, I've got to play this game.
I don't have to do this.
Well, Alright,
so
these,
I've just come up with two or three more personas for my Frostwork.
Exactly. Well, in the miniatures for these, they.
Hey, Paul!
You'll have it's got like the overalls with only the one strap, and he's got like a jug with a couple X's on one side, and like a shotgun. over his shoulder and a little hat, kind of a little straw hat kind of thing. Yes, they're interesting.
So South Carolina goblins is what you're telling me.
Sold.
Oh my gosh, no, because they live in the bayou, so they're
more Louisiana.
More Louisiana. So
Beverly Hillbillies has goblins.
Dang old light pole, dang old stand it sideways, can't get stand up in mud. Dang old thing. I have family in Louisiana. I go down there frequently.
So you know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You've seen those goblins.
Mm-hmm. I have.
Those goblins might be right neighborly folk.
They are. There is neighborly as the crocodiles and stuff or whatever down there.
Let's say, and as far as card games, I know that Privateer Press has a card game called Infernal Contraption, I want to say it is, where you're playing a lot of the different the Warriors, goblins, trying to build some sort of crazy steampunk contraption. It's a lot of fun. At least that's what I've heard. I've never actually played. But it looks fun. It looks really interesting.
Well, if we're talking about card games that I haven't ever played, there's also Knuckle Sandwich from the makers of Kobolds Ate My Baby.
That's right, it's got kobolds all over it. In fact, one of the cards is part of King Torg.
All hail King Torg!
Yeah, we got that in twice in the episode so far.
Without Ruby being
Without
here.
Ruby coming here.
And if you haven't yelled it at your speakers, then you're just...
Yes, you have two death checks to take already.
Right now, roll. We'll wait.
All right, who survived?
All right. At least one of you survived. I know. I failed mine.
Gosh. Thanks for that, Calvin.
I do what I can.
So let's see. Is there any other games that we can think of? Video games or such? No, they're all stupid. Those are the only ones.
There is a minion based game, Droid iOS and Windows Phone, called Minion Rush.
Okay.
And you play as one minion. And it's just running, jumping, dodging back and forth. But you're also trying to pick up coins or knock over other minions or the, you know, punching the little purple minions if you happen to be in El Macho's lair. And, you know, you've got certain quests, little things that you have to accomplish, like jump over so many flamethrowers or... not, you know, beat up enough minions, and then you complete the challenge. You complete enough challenges, you move up in level, which is basically just multiplying your score. So,
can you upgrade your?
No.
Okay. But that's okay.
About the well, that's I take okay. that back. I take that back. You can upgrade your minion slightly. One of the main currencies in the game is bananas. And so you collect bananas the way Pac-Man collects dots, and they add up in your score, and then you keep them after each run, when you can actually use them to charge up like your freeze ray or your mega minion potion, which, yeah, you get to just stomp through the thing and beat up everything in your path. So you can boost those, as well as you have costumes you can buy, which increase durations of certain power-ups, or just increase your multiplier, or just give you something funny to look at when you're watching them run around in there.
Something funnier.
Funnier, exactly. So I'll actually say that my 8-year-old is better at the game than I am.
That happens.
Imagine that.
The only other video game that I can think of that I've played recently is if you play a witch doctor on Diablo 3.
Oh, gosh.
And you take the little pygmy, all the little pygmy abilities, you can run around with, like, this massive horde of, like, little army pygmies with knives, and you don't do anything. You just let them do everything, and they're just like... You don't control them. You just walk into your things.
And they go out and attack
it. And they just go out and attack it.
All you have to do is pick up the loot.
Yeah. You just pick the loot. It's Witch Doctor is probably the laziest Diablo character that you can possibly play.
I remember when it got to the point where you summon up all the frogs, and Ruby's like,
yeah.
Ruby's like, you cannot do that. If I'm gonna play with you, you cannot.
Because
there
are
frogs everywhere. They just hop all over the screen and exploding.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Exploding frogs?
They're exploding frogs.
Awesome.
Yes.
You know,
exploding frogs.
And exploding cows.
Make another
that. We gotta throw unexploded cows at that.
Well, speaking of...
Yeah.
Exploding cows. Well, exploding frogs actually, for some reason, makes me think of this. And I'm going to throw this out there, because Calvin and I have been talking about this at NomeCon. And I think this is something we're going to do. We're going to work on it. We're going to put together...
Absolutely.
We're going to put together a tournament-style thing similar to... I don't know what it's going to be similar to. But we're going to throw some sort of tournament-style thing together. And we're either going to call it Kobold versus Goblins or Goblins versus Kobolds.
How original.
And what we're going to do.
How creative.
Or the
KPG. And what we're going to do is, I think we're going to have a couple different tables. Well, Calvin's going to be running the group of Goblins, and I'm going to be running the group of Kobolds. And that's going to be as far as we know, it's going to be either going to go through a series of challenges that may or may not be related to what the other group, the other tables on. So the effects of one may affect the other one, and it's ultimately going to come down to where they're going to have to face off against each other, and the effects, you know, the achievements they've gotten in the different rooms are going to determine
help and or hinder
themselves.
Very nice.
The final thing.
I'm impressed.
It's
and we're gonna work on that. We're gonna put it together. And we're gonna.
We do.
Yes. If we do it up well, and we write it up really nicely, then because you're going to Gen Con.
I am going to Gen Con. Yeah.
And what we'll do is we will.
That'll be fun.
We'll get some of the swarm to hold down like some of the Paizo people, and we'll say, "Look,
you
look,
must listen.
This is what we're doing. Give us a boon or something that we can give out."
Yeah, that would be good. That would be awesome.
They might make you change kobolds to lizards, though, if you're going to do that.
There's kobolds in... No, well, it's going to be... just so everyone knows, when I run it, where you were, it's going to be the Pathfinder rules, so it's going to be...
Pathfinder
kobolds. I will swallow my pride and use the Pathfinder
well,
do it, man.
Let's
do
emphasize
it.
The air quotes. Pathfinder kobolds.
But it'll still be fun.
Well, that sounds real interesting. I've only ever played in one game where there were multiple tables that affected
each other.
Directly each other. So, no, this is not the PFS specials.
No.
Because the specials only slightly affect each other. But the one that I played in was at ShadowCon, which was kind of a fancy word for just a whole bunch of people getting together at some store... Not a game store, but
a
nearly abandoned retail store in Marion, South Carolina.
I like it.
I was about to say, like a hat barn or something.
Yeah.
It was more of like a thrift store, but it was mostly open and stuff like that. We actually stayed there, you know, overnight for the two nights we were there. But we played a game that is not on the market. Don't know exactly where it is in the whole scheme of creativity, but it was...
This is the shadiest gaming story I have ever heard.
Right?
And this includes an evening where someone did drugs and then ran a goblin-based game.
Well,
so,
I will say...
Well, my hat's off!
I'll say the name of the game.
Hey, buddy,
it is Time
when
Warriors.
Play some unreleased RPGs.
Well, we had already played it. They had come to Scarab and introduced the game, and we got hooked very, very quickly. And a few of us, members of the Swarm, went down there and played. And they actually set up a scenario where there were three squads in three different rooms with three different GMs, but we were all on the same real-time timetable. And while our group managed to... accidentally disable the artificial gravity unit for the entire space station, which sent the other two squads into zero G. Literally, the GM called up on the radio, gravity is out. GMs, be aware. And so they immediately had to change the environment to zero G for the NPCs and the PCs. And then, when our super smart, super technician fixed it, then he then had to call back and say, gravity is restored. So while all these people are going through all these crazy maneuvers in zero G, now all of a sudden they're landing flat on their faces.
Lovely.
Awesome. And then we managed to set off the self-destruct mechanism, and barely got that one disabled before the whole thing blew up, and we literally just destroyed the entire scenario for about 25 people.
Yeah.
That whole thing started at about 9 o'clock at night and ended at 5 o'clock in the morning.
The way that we're looking at it is, you know, if Group A manages to disarm or find their way around this obstacle before Group B finds their way around alternate obstacle, there is a possibility that the disarming of this obstacle could directly set off obstacle A. So,
there's going to be things.
It could be.
It would also be cool to, you know, ooh, you set off this booby trap, and it just happened to be hardwired to the other one in the other side. Yeah. Or, ooh, I lean on this particular rock, or this particular stone, it slides in and falls off on the other side.
Maybe. That might have been something we...
That may have been mentioned.
If it hasn't, it has been now.
So, and this is on the record.
Yeah. So that's something to look forward to, for people to look forward to. And it's not going to be just, you know, a PF. Lord knows it's not going to be just a PF. It's going to be strictly whoever wants to play. If you're like, I've never played Pathfinder before, this might not be the best
game to say this is the perfect place to start.
So that when you start playing Pathfinder, you go, wait a minute. What do you mean I can't play a goblin?
Mentioning playing a goblin. That boon, I don't even know what the hell it's going to do yet.
That's right.
That's right. Just putting it out there right now.
That's right. If
okay, I might not, but I plan on it.
If people haven't heard about this yet or seen it on Facebook yet, Del Collins has said that he has a goblin boon for Pathfinder Society, and apparently he just doesn't want it, so he's going to give it to somebody at Scarab 2015. Now, I don't think he's actually said what he's going to do to determine who gets it yet, but so far there's been a lot of people who have desperately wanted this thing.
But they can hang it up.
Including this guy over here, Calvin, who really wants it for some reason.
I do. I don't know why I would want a goblin boon.
In fact, the only thing I'm surprised of is that you weren't the first person to respond.
I didn't see it initially, but...
You're clearly...
I happened to be there when Dell found out he was getting this and thought, hey, I'm gonna give this away at Scarab, I think. I said, well, just give it to me now and then you don't have to worry about it. That, however, did not work out.
Maybe if we pitch this thing
to whoever
and get it working up well
there
enough
you go.
And get it ready for, like,
Scarab. The winner.
Then maybe we can say, hey, Dell, can we give this to...
Congratulations. Sorry, Calvin. Yeah, you're GMing it.
Okay. So Calvin's like, I don't like this idea. No,
that idea just went down the hole really fast.
Okay, never mind.
I mean, it was a good idea to have a boon to give away for that, but not particularly that.
We'll just have to say, Dell, you gotta get another one so we can get first place.
Exactly.
One for Calvin and one for this stuff. Alright, well, unless anybody has any other little things to bring up.
I do.
That probably brings us to a nice little conclusion to this talk about things that are small and deadly and
crunchy
and little mischievous.
And taste good with ketchup.
That we all secretly want to be able to play every now and then instead of just beat up in games. So,
frequently.
Any last parting words before?
I do want to put out there that, you know, if there's anybody who's listening...
Here comes the shameless plug here.
Shameless plug. If there's anybody who's listening, you can look me up on Facebook and or you can go to my website at faycommando, faycommando.wix.com/calvins-games to order your Scarab tickets for only $40. Just saying. And, you know, that way you can order it online. You don't have to worry about getting with me to pay, give me the money. It's all there, done, nice, easy, over. So. And you can also find that on the Scarab Facebook page. So. Just saying.
How convenient.
I try to make everything easier for everyone else. And me.
We all appreciate that, Calvin. Well, that's it for our discussion on the little guys.
That would be a good name for the game. The little guys.
Looking out for the little guy.
No, it would be more like War of the Little Guys.
I like Crisis on Infinite Crunchies.
And now, Scarab News.
So the Swarm has been quite busy at conventions for a large part of May and for a little bit of June. All of this has been leading up to Gen Con, where I'll be volunteering with Paizo to HQ, muster, and run Pathfinder games for Pathfinder Society. We'll also be hitting up some of our usual sponsors and meeting new folks while we're there at Gen Con. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you're at Gen Con this year, look for us and say hi. We may give you something cool. So the first What's in the Bag contest is coming to a close, but there is still plenty of time to play. All you need to do is identify which episode these quotes come from, who said them, and you know what? I'll give you a hint about one of them. It comes from one of our very special episodes that, I'll leave it at that. So here's those quotes again. Quote number one. If the game slows down, it's probably your turn. Quote number two. And we silly stringed the you-know-what out of the entire con-com. And quote number three. Pajaggle, pajaggle, pajaggle. Remember, you can email them to me at swarmcast@scarab.com. That's scarab spelled out with all the little hyphens in there. I'll need all of the entries by July 20th to give me plenty of time to make sure everything's recorded properly and to make the announcement proper. And now, the Scarab event calendar.
Events, events, events!
Aside from a to-be-announced Scarab game day in July, we are saving up all of our strength for Gen Con, which will be August 14th through 17th in Indianapolis. Watch out, here we come. If you want Scarab at your event, or to set up a game day at your business, contact us through our website 4 to 8 weeks prior. And that's all the news for now. For up-to-date news, go to Scarab's website and check us out on Facebook. Hey, mamma mia, it's a time for a Scarab game review! Wahoo! Alright, for this game review, I'm going to review Knuckle Sandwich by Ninth Level Games. And that's right, it's sandwich, it's not sandwich. So in this game, you play a kobold from the Kobolds Ate My Baby game, trying to survive lunch and have the most sandwiches. Each round, you'll draw a card from a draw pile or the kitchen, and you'll play a card, because you can never have more than one card in your paw. You'll play that card directly in front of you on your plate, as it's called. Some cards have special rules when they're face up on your plate, or when they're played. The round will end when there is only one uneaten kobolds, and kobolds get a number of sandwiches when they eat their other kobolds. I know, you'd think you'd be collecting, you'd be wanting to eat the sandwiches, but you're trying to eat kobolds so that you can get sandwiches. It's a very quick, fun game. With the game, you get a deck of around 22 cards with artwork by John Kovalik, just like in the Kobolds Ate My Baby game itself, and plenty of that ninth level game's humor. I would suggest adding a D10 or something to help you keep track of your sandwiches as well. The game ends, the winner of the game is the person who collects a total of 9 sandwiches. D10's perfect because you can use your 0 to count as 0 and the 9 to count as 9. So where can you get this game? Well, you can get it from drivethrurpg.com, which you can order the actual deck of cards. They'll mail it to you. Or you find those ninth level guys at different conventions and you get it from them. I know a lot of folks who came to Scarab this year got them from Chris O'Neill when he was at Scarab. That's where I got mine from as well. Whoopee! Well, this brings us to the end of our little episode. Yes, that's right. It's in air quotes, little. I wanted to thank Clayton Harbo, Calvin Korn, and of course Jason Wright for joining me. We started the show off with a new tune by iFi Dragons from their upcoming album, The Near Future. You can pre-order the album now by going to their website, and it should be out in September. We'll let MC Lars take us out with a clip from a new song of his off of his new album that he's currently working on as well. And his new album should be coming out either this fall or early 2015.
This song goes out to all the Simpsons fans out there who've been watching since the first season, who have spent way too much trying to collect all the Kid Robot figures. But does anyone know where I can find this guy?
Mole Man, Hans Mole Man. You can't keep Hans Mole Man down. Standing 4'4", weighs about 140. Hipster glasses so thick and round.
Mole
Man,
Hans Moleman. You can't keep Hans Moleman down. Nearly blinded by those cataracts, puffing on that medical, the talk of the Springfield town. Hans Moleman is his name, aka Ralph Mellish. He's a stone-cold player, Artie Ziff was mad jealous when he dated Selma first, plus he's only 31. Drinking ruined his life, it's such a sad story, son. Got a knife in his cane and a fire in his loins. The indie movie star who took a football to his groin. Burns thought he was a leprechaun, drilled him in the head. Slept with Lars Ulrich's grandmother, then chilled with her in bed. He's more metal than Metallica, though that's not so hard. Homer drove him off a cliff, so impatient in his car. He was hauling Poe's house, just another day for Hans. But he's back on his feet, cause he's the mother flippin' man. You know there's no escape from the fortress of the moles. He's been burping over Barry, but he's still on a roll. He's been radiated, detonated, heartbroken twice. The Lazarus of Springfield always coming back to life. His name is Moleman.
Music on the Scarab Swarmcast is by iFi Dragons at ifidragons.com. MC Lars at mclars.com and Midnight Syndicate at midnightsyndicate.com. The Scarab Swarmcast is produced and mixed by John Manus. You can subscribe to the Swarmcast through our podcast site or through iTunes. If you like what you hear, have questions or suggestions, leave a comment on Facebook or you can email us at swarmcast@s-c-a-r-a-b.com.
The power is in our hands, gentlemen. I suggest we use it.